Chapter 16.
Holy fuck!
Becca gasped as the girls spun around to see the megaherd. The spaceship had started to shake violently as they approached, and Adhara even shot to her feet in shock. There must have been around 40 dinosaurs approaching, from small pyroraptors to a spinosaurus in the middle. They were right at the bottom of the hill, but it wouldn't take long for the beasts to reach us, especially the smaller, more agile species. Seeing them all there made me realize why the area had been so quiet recently. The small herd we had seen on our shop run must have just been the beginning. They had rallied up all the dinos in the area to form an army big enough to take down the castle at last, and there was a strong chance we had all the dinos in Ravenscar in front of us. This gave me a glimmer of satisfaction, though. As difficult as it would be to take them down, if we could manage it, then Ravenhall just might be able to live in peace until more portals spewed another batch out at us. Then my breath caught in my throat, as I saw a T-Rex lumber along at the back of the group, and I knew we only had a few minutes to prepare for war. "We need to go," I said, as I felt a mix of adrenaline and nausea rise up in my stomach. "We need to rally everyone together."
"We take my weapons,"
Adhara said. "Yeah, we're going to need them," I agreed. We rushed over to the weapons room, and the alien quickly started to pile our arms high with everything we could carry. We prioritized the sharp guns and blasters, as I hoped none of us would end up close enough to need the swords. Once we all clutched onto as much as we could carry, I glanced out of the window to see the herd advance slowly up the hill. But we still had time to make it inside if we hauled ass. "Okay," I said. "Go, run, now!" A sense of dread hung in the air, and we didn't waste any time. I knew that if we didn't make it to the castle in time, there was no hope for us, and I clutched my pile of sharp guns tightly as we raced to the exit of the spacecraft and jumped through the force field. The familiar buzzing sensation on my skin barely registered as I leapt through, and I made sure the girls were all out before I pelted across the grass. None of us turned back as we sprinted up the hillside toward the courtyard, and once our feet hit the gravel, I raced ahead to get the pantry door open. "Sheila!" I yelled, and to the woman's credit, the door was open in less than a second. I spun around and ushered the girls inside before I leapt in myself, and then I slammed the door shut behind me and hefted my load of weapons onto the floor. I hurriedly locked the entrance, and Kat and Becca already had the freezer sliding over when I jumped back. Then we all fought to catch our breaths while the subtle vibrations I felt in the floorboards buzzed through my knees.
"What's going on?"
Sheila asked as she clutched her pile of knitting. "There's a herd," I panted. "A big one. We need everyone's help now." I turned and ran out of the pantry, and the girls followed me while we sprinted into the dining hall to see a sea of alarmed faces look up from their breakfasts. I took a second to slow my breathing, and I realized I was going to have to try and sound as calm and as confident as possible while I handled this. We needed the locals to fight, or we'd never hold off this many dinos. And if they saw an already exasperated dino slayer losing his shit, then panic would ensue. "Everyone, listen up," I said, as the dining hall fell silent. "There's a herd approaching the castle. A big one." There was an immediate outburst of cries and questions, and I raised my hands up to silence the crowd. "We need to fight," I said. "We all need to fight. That means working together, trying to stay calm, and using this attack to our own advantage. Understood?"
"What does that mean?" an older man demanded. "How the hell is there any advantage in this?"
"There's over 40 dinos out there," I told the shell-shocked group. "These assholes had to have gathered from all over this area. Now they're on our doorstep, and if we act fast, we could wipe out the majority of the dinos in who knows how many miles, right here, today." I looked around at the sea of faces, and it looked like most of the locals were present. But I knew there would still be some asleep in their beds. The ones I did see seemed to understand the gravity of what I'd just said, but it looked like their shock was keeping them locked in their seats. Debbie was the first to get to her feet, and her high heels scraped on the hardwood floor as she rose.
"I'll go wake everyone,"
the older blonde said with a nod.
"I need to change these bloody shoes if we're fighting dinos anyway."
"Someone go help her," I ordered. "Take a floor each. Make sure everyone is up." Debbie grabbed another woman by the arm, and they both hurried off out of the dining hall without another word.
"What do we do?" Gerald asked, as he clutched his teacup close.
"Everyone who was in Kat's lessons will fight," I said. "Everyone who is unable will stay safe down in the basement.
We'll need medical stations just in case,
Kat said, and that prompted another worried murmur from the tables.
I'll get my supplies, Harris stuttered.
Joey sat beside him with wide eyes, and the small boy silently put down his toast as he watched me.
Daddy?
The kid mumbled as his father stood up shakily. The other child in the group started to cry, and her younger mother cradled her and rocked her gently.
Somebody take the kids downstairs,
Becca said.
You'll be safe in the basement, okay? Nothing can get you down there.
Joey's lip trembled, but he nodded and stood up to give his father a hug.
Come with me, my loves,
an elderly woman said as she pushed back her chair.
We'll find a nice spot together.
The small girl reluctantly left her mother's arms and walked over to the old woman, and Joey joined them as a tear rolled down his cheek. As Joey passed us, he suddenly wrapped his arms around Haewon's legs, and he looked up at the Korean beauty with a trembling lower lip.
Be careful,
he sniffed, and Haewon stroked his hair.
I will,
she said gently, and then the kids hurried off hand in hand with the old woman.
We can't possibly have enough ammunition for a herd this size,
a young man fretted as another 10 roars echoed outside.
Even if we live through this, we'll be without any kind of protection from here on out.
That shouldn't be an issue, I assured everyone, and I motioned for Adhara to come over. The alien and Haewon were struggling not to drop their load of sharp guns and blasters, and the group of locals gawked at the arsenal while the girls approached.
How are we using those? Mikey asked with a huge grin.
Yes,
Adhara nodded.
You fought to protect me from the humans in the black clothing. My weapons will protect you from the beasts, and there are more by the guard at the door. I will do very fast show of how to use. If you use the weapons wrong, you will be very dead.
She means it, I warned, as the young folk scrambled to their feet. Don't try and show off or be a hero. Listen to what Adhara tells you and use the weapons safely. They are in a different league to our own guns, and if you fuck this up, you won't live to tell the tale. There was a nearby roar, which was followed by an entire chorus of screeches and howls. The dining hall fell silent as the ruckus continued nonstop, and I glanced at my girls who just stared at me with wide eyes. We'd faced off with some crazy shit together in the last few weeks, but never a herd this size. It wasn't just them I had to worry about now, though. We also had a whole castle of locals to try and bring through this fight, and if we failed, we wouldn't only lose lives out here today. We'd lose the safe haven all these people had actually managed to secure during the fucking apocalypse. I took a deep breath and focused solely on the task at hand while I hurried to go bring the rest of the weapons into the dining hall. Everyone who could shoot would need to have a weapon, and we would need to rely on excellent vantage points to finish this mega herd off before they could reach the castle walls. If they got too close and made it inside with their crazy organizational skills and massive teeth, there'd be no stopping them. All of the Ravenhall residents would be trampled or eaten alive in a matter of minutes. We'll need to use the windows upstairs to shoot, I said as I helped Adhara and Haewon start handing out the sharp guns and blasters. Two people to a window. That way, if anyone gets hurt, your buddy can get help. Most of the older people had started to shuffle out into the lobby and make their way to the basement as fast as their aged legs could carry them. Several of them held each other's hands and exchanged terrified glances, but a few of them hung back to help with the medical stations. Harris had already reappeared with an armful of bandages and alcohol, and he dumped his supplies on a central dining table while he prattled off instructions to his volunteers. Adhara had started to run through the mechanics of the sharp guns and blasters, and the locals watched with wide eyes and nodded vigorously. I could tell how petrified they were. But I felt a sense of pride as they carefully held their new guns and listened to every word the alien said to them. Something about those alien weapons seemed to have made these small-town folks feel brave enough to stand up against a mega herd of dinos, and I just hoped that bravery would hold out. We were going to need every scrap of dedication from this group if we wanted to stand a chance of surviving. The roars continued outside, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end as I registered how many different kinds of calls I heard out there. They were all getting louder, too, and the walls of the castle began to shake as the herd approached.
Jason!
Becca yelled and trotted over to me.
We need to move!
We'll take the attic, I said. You and Haewon go up there now. Make sure we're set up with blasters, grenades, and the machine gun. The two girls nodded, and they gave the locals one last glance before they ran off to set up our shooting station.
I don't know about having the medical station in the dining hall,
Kat said, as she watched Harris hand out supplies to his volunteers.
Yeah, I glanced at the boarded-up windows. The steel sheets that had been screwed on helped ease my mind a little, but I didn't like their chances if an Ankylosaurus's tail whipped into them.
Maybe they should be in the basement, too,
Kat suggested. That's a lot of stairs for injured people to handle swiftly, I countered. What about the kitchen? There's no windows in there, and they can barricade the door with the fridges and ovens if they need to. Kat nodded and then hurried over to Harris to get him to relocate. Then an ear-shattering, synchronized roar tore over the hillside, and my spine went rigid. The herd had to be halfway to the hilltop already.
We need to move now, I yelled, as I rushed over to the group with Adhara. Everyone know how to work their weapon?
The locals nodded, and they all held their weapons with shaking hands.
We can do this!
Mikey's voice cracked when he spoke, but his expression was determined.
Fuck yeah, you can, I agreed. This is what you trained for. Kat will tell you, battles never come when you feel ready or brave. But we have each other, and we have the coolest fucking guns imaginable.
One shot,
Adhara nodded.
Aim carefully, and you will need only one for most Omati.
That's her word for dinos, I quickly explained. But the locals hadn't seemed to notice the odd word as they exchanged terrified glances.
Okay, everyone buddy up, I announced. Pick one of your rooms to set up in. We'll need to space ourselves out, so try and make sure you aren't right next door to another pair.
And what do we do?
The girl with the pixie cut asked.
When we get in there.
You set up at the windows, I said, and leveled the group with a steady stare. You open the glass just far enough to shoot accurately, and you kill some fucking dinos for us before they reach this castle. It was such a simple way of explaining a horrifically difficult task, and I knew none of them were buying that it would be simple. But my level tone seemed to have reassured them at least a little bit. Mikey had a deadly smirk on his pale face, and most of the younger folks in the group looked pretty amped up. They still seemed to be about 10 seconds away from losing their shit, but they bounced on their toes and clutched their sharp guns and blasters in white-knuckled grips. Even the middle-aged men and women in the crowd looked a little eager to get started, and one man with deep lines under his eyes sent me a wild-eyed grin.
"We'll be in the kitchen," Harris said as he hurried over. Please be careful. I can only do so much with these supplies.
We will, I assured him, and the red-haired man scurried off with his helpers close behind.
Okay, we need to get shooting,
Kat said as her hazel eyes darted around the room.
There's nothing else we can do now other than blast these fuckers down and paint the hillside red with dino blood and guts.
Let's do this, I nodded to the pale locals. Everyone to your stations.
I led the group out of the dining hall, and with Kat and Adhara beside me, we started to take the wide stairs two at a time. Nobody spoke as the sound of monstrous footsteps grew louder, and it became clear that the herd were moving to surround the castle as roars echoed from every direction. Some of the locals broke off on the first floor and hurried over to their rooms in pairs like I had told them. They offered me quick nods before they ducked inside to get into position, and the rest of us continued up onto the second floor landing. Then the remaining members of the group split up and ran to their stations, and Kat, Adhara, and I raced down the hall to the wooden steps that led to the attic. The pretty soldier and alien both had looks of fierce determination etched onto their faces, and when I opened the attic door and motioned for them to head up, they each sent me little smirks on their way past. We could hear Becca and Haywan's hurried conversation as we climbed up to the top floor of Raven Hall, and a gunshot rang out somewhere below us. The attic was the only room in the castle that had a view of the front and back of the hillside, so we would have eyes on the whole herd from up here. And the two girls had set up weapons next to 5 of the windows around the room.
This is bad,
Becca said as she turned to us, and her beautiful face was drained of color.
There are so many.
Haywan peered out of one of the small windows. I hurried over to the window to the right of the girls and looked out of the narrow pane. Part of the herd had reached the top of the hillside, and goosebumps sprang up on my arms as I watched them slowly walk in a circular formation around the outside of the courtyard. They had formed themselves into 3 rows within the circle, and it was the most organized display of attack I had ever seen from these fuckers. They seemed to be walking around the hotel in a steady formation, and I still couldn't shake the feeling they were stomping their feet purposefully to intimidate us. From where I was, though, I could see a shitload more than just this circling group alone. far more than I had ever seen in one place, were spread out all over the hillside, and I figured it was only a matter of time before the rest began to circle like the others. It made my skin crawl to see the massive Spinosaurus and Triceratops plod along beside the small raptors with no interest in harming each other. But then I looked down at the L7A2 machine gun that Cat had set up at my window. I grabbed the weapon and lifted the top receiver cover, and once I made sure the belt was inserted properly, I closed her up again. The machine gun was heavy compared to my rifle, and just ridiculous compared to the alien weapons I'd gotten used to in the last day. The weight of it was reassuring to me, though, and adrenaline pulsed through my veins as I opened the window further so I could set up the attached tripod on the ledge.
"Okay, we need to stop them from advancing any further on us," I told the girls. "Keeping them away from the castle is vital. If one gets through, then they could all get through. Hey, Juan, use your blasters for the farthest targets, and the rest of you help me pick off the ones who have closed in already. I can mow down as many of the closest fuckers as possible with the machine gun."
Hei-Wan hurried over to one of the windows, which looked out over the back of the castle, and the petite Korean swung her blaster over her shoulder as she opened the glass. Becca set up beside me so she had a good view of the courtyard, and she wasted no time as she aimed her sharp gun at the nearest Utah raptor. She wrinkled her nose before she shot it in the neck, and the dinosaur didn't even make a noise as it died. It just slumped onto its side as blood poured from the wound.
"Fuck yeah,"
the blonde muttered as she lined up her next shot.
"Bring on the fucking war, you scaly bastards!"
There was a sudden burst of pained roars as the locals started to fire into the herd without reserve, and it seemed like Cat's lessons had really stuck as the dinos began to fall.
"You know how to use that machine gun?"
Cat asked as she took a shot with her sharp gun, and a pyroraptor screeched.
"Just one pull of the trigger to unleash all hell, right?" I asked with a grin. "My dad's buddy had one of these. It was never loaded, but he let me hold it."
The pretty soldier blinked at me.
"Americans have machine guns? The civilians?"
"Not all of them," I chuckled. "You gotta jump through a ton of hoops to get one, but yeah, they're out there. America might be doing pretty all right with this whole dino thing, to be honest."
"And we are just the lucky ones who get our very own American for the apocalypse,"
Hei-Wan said, and sent me a wink before she blasted a Stegosaurus in the side with a vibrant purple ball of alien firepower.
"Damn right," I laughed.
"Just make sure the tripod is steady,"
the pretty soldier said.
"You don't want that to fall when you have 100 bullets firing out the other end. Use the ammo sparingly. We want to keep this place stocked up as long as we can."
"Sure thing," I said. "This is going to be loud. Okay, it's time to spill some dino guts."
I aimed at the closest line of dinos, and I took a deep breath as I steadied my finger on the cold metal of the trigger. When I pulled my finger taut, there was a thunderous explosion of noise as the bullets sprayed into the crowd of dinos below, and blood erupted into the air like a glitter cannon.
"Hell yeah!"
I whooped, and my ears rang from the constant report of the machine gun. As I mowed down the dinosaurs at the front of the group, the girls fired on the creatures who were moving in from the sides, and my targets tumbled onto the ground and knocked over other dinos as they fell. Their blood was splattered on the grass and every nearby beast, but by the time I burned through my 100 rounds, I'd annihilated 2 concavenators, a Utah raptor, a triceratops, and 2 pyroraptors. My eardrums pounded painfully from the aftermath, but I could hear several locals howling their approval from their windows below. More blasters erupted on the lower hillside in a vibrant purple display. Adhara's smile was bigger than I'd ever seen it as she watched me chuckle my ass off over the scene. I barely had time to enjoy the bloody victory, though, because suddenly the slow, steady movements of the beasts changed. There was a chain of agitated roars, and the dinos galloped from their circle formation as all hell broke loose. Some of the smaller dinos ran through the courtyard entrance and onto the gravel, and a handful of the larger ones went straight over the wall. They had come close enough to get a good look at their attackers, and I heard the hushed hiss of the sharp guns below us, as a local shot a pyroraptor right in the eye and made its face pop open before it fell over and oozed blood all over the gravel. There were 2 bursts of light as blasters were fired into the back of the herd, and purple balls collided with a couple of stegosauruses who promptly blew up into a flurry of guts and blood. I quickly put the machine gun back on the hardwood floor and swung my sharp gun into position, and I took aim at one of the Utah raptors as it raced toward the front entrance of the castle. The lightweight alien gun had started to feel so familiar in my hand, and my shot lodged directly between the galloping dino's eyes.
"There's so fucking many of them!"
Kat yelled, as she shot at the Triceratops, which had started to charge toward the front door as well. The pretty soldier got the beast in the leg, but not before it had headbutted the entrance, and there was a thunderous clatter as horns knocked into the reinforced door. I wedged half my torso out the window and quickly took another shot straight down at it, and I managed to get the Triceratops right in the top of the spine near the neck. The huge dino gargled and swayed before it fell over dead, but I had a feeling the damage to the door had already been done.
"Did it break through?"
Heywan asked, as she spun around to me with wide eyes.
"There's no way it didn't,"
Becca said as she fired into an oncoming pyroraptor.
"The little ones are trying to get in. I think the Triceratops must have broken the door open. Are we too close to use the blasters, Adhara?"
Becca asked, and the alien nodded.
"For these ones, yes, too close,"
Adhara answered and fired her sharp gun 3 times. All 3 of her shots struck her targets directly in the skulls, and 2 Utah raptors hit the gravel within a second of each other before a concavenator crashed to the ground behind them. "Damn, you're pretty good with that sharp gun," I chuckled.
"No, I am very, very good,"
Adhara said in a completely neutral tone, and she shot down a pyroraptor next. Then I heard yelling down below from the locals, and I knew the people on the first floor would have a better view of the entrance. "We need to stop any dinos from getting in through that door," I said. "We can't leave it wide open like that. It should only take me—"
"No, do not go alone,"
Adhara interrupted and stepped back from her firing station.
"I will go also, Jason. Me too,"
Heywan said. "Okay," I agreed. "Becca, Kat, can you guys—" I was interrupted by the sound of a power drill, and I swung the window as wide as it would go as I leaned out far to look down at the door. I still didn't have a great view, but just ahead of the dead Triceratops, I could make out a giant gaping hole in the wood. It was suddenly covered over as a new layer of metal was attached to the inside of the door, and the power drill started whirring again. "Looks like the locals handled it," I grinned. "Fuck, I didn't think any of them would have the balls to go down there."
"They're all grown up,"
Becca cooed as she rushed to the next window to cover the courtyard side.
"Oh shit, Kat, I think your jeep might be in trouble."
"What?"
Kat screeched. The 2 of us raced over to Becca's window, and a stegosaurus whipped its tail dangerously close to the cluster of trees where the corporal had hidden her prized jeep.
"Oh, that big spiky fuck!"
Kat wailed, and she hip-checked Becca to the side so she could brace the barrel of her sharp gun on the window pane. The soldier immediately started to shoot at the beast, but the trees it stood behind were too dense to get a clear shot, and Kat settled for firing on the tail while she swore under her breath a few times.
"How are things at the back?" I yelled across the room to Heywan.
"Bloody!"
the Korean yelled back, and she quickly swapped her blaster for her sharp gun before she took a shot.
"There are not as many back here. I think they know where the front door is."
"Of course they do,"
I growled and shook my head. I looked down at the damage we had managed so far, and I had to admit I was seriously impressed with our group effort. There was already a graveyard of dino bodies littered all over the hilltop, with a few crushed MI5 vehicles thrown around, and the gravel around us was mostly red as blood flowed from the huge bodies. The sound of stampeding footsteps had lessened, and the dinos didn't seem as organized anymore as they fled from bullets and blaster flames and tried to jump over their fallen herd members. There couldn't have been more than 15 or so left, and it seemed that the locals had really gotten the hang of dino slaying. Then a series of horrific screeches broke through the sky above the castle, and my heart sank as I saw 3 shadows drift over the bloody ground below. A moment later, a large leathery wing flew past my window.
"Get down!"
I hissed, and dove away from the open glass. The girls all followed my lead, and a bone-chilling cry rang out as the trio of flying dinos circled over Raven Hall. From what I could see, they weren't anything that we had dealt with before. They were smaller than pterodactyls, but their wingspan was still at least 18 feet. A sudden thump above us sent dust raining down from the ceiling, and I knew one of the flying bastards had landed on the roof right over our heads. I also knew from experience that flying dinos wouldn't hesitate to tear the roof and windows to shit just to try and get at us, and these ones were just small enough to dive straight in if they maneuvered correctly. I glanced at the girls, and none of us moved a muscle while we waited to hear the perch dino's next move. Hei-Wan kneeled opposite me, and I stared at her as I heard the dino above us scrape its long talons on the roof. The two other flying dinos screamed as they soared past, and my heart stopped for a moment as one of them flew so close to Hei-Wan's window that I was sure it was about to dive in. From here, I could see the reddish hue of their skin, and their bright yellow eyes flashed as they whipped their sharp beaks around to scan the area. The two passing dinos didn't seem to notice us, though, and they continued to flap over the castle.
"Pteranodons,"
Kat hissed behind me.
"I think. What do we do?"
Becca whispered. "The sharp gun should kill them," I replied. "But it's getting the shot that'll be tricky."
"They could fit through these windows,"
Kat warned.
"Those beaks have to be at least 6 feet long, too. So the second they get close enough to the window, those beaks are flying straight at our heads at who knows what speed."
"No fucking way! We are killing them long before they get that fucking close,"
Becca whisper growled. I glanced out of Hei-Wan's window to see one of the pteranodons had flown out over the open water before it turned to dive back at the hotel. It moved at alarming speed that reminded me of a bird of prey, and it was out of sight in a matter of seconds. "If they go far out," I said, "we could use the blasters on them." Adhara nodded in silent agreement while she stared up at the ceiling, and she reached an arm out to pass me one of the cylinder weapons beside her. The locals continued to fire out at the herd, and the gentle hiss of the sharp guns drifted in through the windows. It sounded like we only had a few dinos left on the ground, and if we could kill the flying fuckers, then we just might be able to keep Raven Hall in one piece. There was another thump above us, and the pteranodon on the rooftop soared off into the sky. I saw the red wings fly by Becca's window as she crouched underneath it, and Adhara motioned for Hei-Wan to grab her blaster.
"Okay," I said under my breath. "We get up, and whenever one of the flying fuckers is far enough away, we blast it into fucking bits."
I slowly rose to my feet and cautiously peered outside to see that all three flying dinos had grouped together, and they dove over the dead bodies of the herd as if trying to work out their next move. There were only three dinos on foot that I could see, and one of the pyroraptors was shot right in the skull as I peered out. The pteranodons were so fast that I knew there would be virtually no way to accurately hit them with a bullet on the very first try, even if that bullet came from a sharp gun. And if they realized where we were, it was game over. We had to get them all together, and we had to shoot to kill. The girls all held their blasters on their shoulders and were still stationed at their separate windows, so the whole hilltop was being surveyed. We waited just out of sight for the flying bastards to take another swoop out over the water, but then a distant roar came from behind the woodlands at the front of Raven Hall, and I sharply turned to the girls as it rang out over the hill. I hoped it was just another wandering dino since it sounded pretty far away, but the flying fucker still turned and soared away from the castle and toward the road as if they were following a command. This was our chance.
"Adhara! Kat!"
I started to say, but the girls on either side of me were already poised to fire and sent me identical nods.
"Adhara, tell us when they're at a safe range and we'll fireball their asses."
"Not yet,"
the alien said firmly as she glared out at the pteranodons.
"Very soon. Even sooner. Yes, now!"
I pulled back the lever of the blaster in sync with Kat and Adhara, and three purple balls pelted out over the courtyard and flew at the backs of the three flying beasts. It was hard to tell if we each hit one, or if the pteranodons were all just close enough to get caught in the blast of one of the fireballs. But there was an almighty bang as the sky erupted with vibrant purple flames, smoking guts, and red skin. Charred and flaming shreds of dino rained down through the air, and most of them were burnt to nothing before they even reached the ground.
"Fuck yeah!"
Kat yelled as she punched the air, and Adhara did a funny little bounce as she watched the last scraps of pteranodon burn away.
"That was very nice,"
the lilac woman whispered, and I assumed she was saying this to herself, but it sounded so fucking cute that a grin spread across my face.
"There's nothing out the back,"
Hei-Wan said as she hurried over to our side of the attic.
"Same on the courtyard side,"
Becca reported and trotted over.
"Holy shit!"
someone below us screamed. I immediately swapped my blaster for a sharp gun and leaned far out the window, and I looked down at the courtyard to see one pyroraptor and one barely alive concavenator running wildly between the dead bodies on the gravel. The concavenator had a deep wound in its side and swayed as it tried to run at the door, but then a voice I recognized rang out.
"Fuck you!"
Mikey bellowed from a window below us, and a bullet was shot right into the large dino's neck before it gurgled and fell forward and slid across the blood-drenched gravel. The single pyroraptor seemed to realize it was fucked right now, and it spun around to gallop back down the bloody hillside. I grinned as Becca took aim with her sharp gun, and the dino had a bullet in the back of its skull a few seconds later. It was mid-leap when the blonde Brit fired, though, so the pyroraptor flipped forward, folded in half on a massive stegosaurus corpse, and then sprang back into the air before hitting the grass with a bone-crunching thwack. "Gross," I chuckled.
"We did it!"
Becca squealed as she waved her gun over her head and wiggled her hips.
"That's a lot of blood,"
Kat snickered and peered down onto the gravel.
"And not a single dino breached the son of a bitch."
Kat's face suddenly fell, and all of us lunged to the nearest window to get a look outside. Then my brief rush from our victory vanished as I gazed down at the woodlands at the bottom of the hill and found three massive heads towering over the trees. A trio of T-Rexes plodded through the woods, and they broke through branches and sent trees crashing sideways as they headed for Raven Hall. They had dried blood completely caking their lower jaws and necks, and they trampled everything in their path until they stood right at the bottom of the hill and stared up at the castle. Then they all parted their bloody jaws and roared, and the grating sound seemed to shake the window panes around us from all the way up here.
"Holy fuck," I breathed. "Adhara, will the blasters work on them?"
"I'm not sure,"
the alien said nervously.
"They're too big, I think. But it'll still do damage, right?"
Becca asked.
"If we hit them, part of them will blow up, and that's pretty much a guaranteed way to kill something. I have never used the blasters on an Almaty so big,"
Adhara admitted.
"There has never been a need for me to try."
I felt sweat drip down my neck as the T-Rexes all finished their ground-shaking roars. And then they started to gallop up the hill. Then the enormous dinos broke apart from each other, and one stayed central as the other two raced around to opposite sides. "We've used grenades on them before," I said as I grabbed my blaster. "I threw one right into a T-Rex mouth, and it blew the fucker's head off. These blasters are more powerful than grenades. They will work. They have to." I raced over to one of the windows on the right side of the attic that faced out over the sea, and I immediately clocked the T-Rex who was headed this way. Shouts of panic came from downstairs, and I knew this guy was out of everyone else's line of sight by now, but when I tried to aim my blaster, I couldn't maneuver it to the right angle. The window was too thin to turn the muzzle toward the galloping dino, and the next window was too far along.
"Shit!"
I hissed. I can't get a good angle."
"I think I could get a good shot on this middle bastard,"
Kat said from the front. "Is the roof slanted?" I asked. And Becca whipped her head around.
"Why?"
the blonde Brit asked as the floor started to vibrate. "Because we might only get one shot before this fucking T-Rex breaks down the wall," I said, as I flung the window open as wide as it would go. "I can't afford to miss."
I think parts of it are slanted,"
Becca replied with a panicked look in her brown eyes.
"But Jason, you can't climb onto the fucking roof." "I've got my shot lined up,"
Haywan reported from the left side of the attic.
"What are you doing?"
Adhara gasped as I climbed halfway out of the window.
"Jason, I mean it. Don't you fucking dare!"
"I need to do this!" I hollered. And before the girls could argue any more, I kept hauling myself up onto the thin window ledge. I just barely managed to squeeze through the open glass, and my shoulders were a tight fit. But I grunted and shoved myself through as the entire castle shuddered from the approaching T-Rex trio. As I balanced with one boot on the ledge and one hand gripping the frame, I looked up at the roof over my window, and it had a slight tilt to it, but I figured I could stand on it long enough to shoot.
"Jason!"
Becca screeched. "I'll be right back!" I yelled, and grabbed hold of the upper ledge with both hands to haul myself up as fast as I could.
"Be careful!"
Kat screamed from inside the attic.
"Holy fucking shit!"
Becca whimpered. My feet dangled wildly for a minute while I scrambled up over the roof's edge. But then I couldn't hear my girls anymore. Wind howled in my ears as the smell of ocean air and dino blood wafted over me. And I hadn't anticipated how difficult it would be to stand up on the slanted surface while the entire building shook. I almost fell on my first attempt, and I caught myself just in time to keep my boots from sliding over the edge.
They are close enough to shoot with the blaster!
Edhara shouted out the window.
Jason, are you ready? You will be late soon!
In a second! I yelled, and carefully rose to my feet again. The wind threatened to knock me over, but I kept my knees bent to brace myself, and I took the blaster from my back and placed it on my shoulder. Oh, shit. Oh, this is so fucking high, I muttered, as vertigo threatened to take over. The treetops were swaying around the castle's edge back here, and the cliffs dropped suddenly to the ocean. Thanks to the lofty ceilings of the castle, I was at least 60 feet off the ground, and I could see one of the other T-Rexes in my peripheral vision while my target charged straight at me. Then the T-Rex in front of me let out a gut-wrenching roar that the other two dinos echoed at once, and the roof shook so much below me that it took all of my core strength to stay upright as I aimed my alien weapon at the approaching beast.
Ready?
Edhara yelled.
You are very close to being late.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Shoot!
The alien cried. I pulled back the lever on the side of the glowing blue cylinder, and as the purple ball of alien chemicals shot out of my blaster and toward the charging T-Rex, I held my breath. The three explosions happened at almost exactly the same time. As I watched the purple ball collide with the belly of the dino, the roof shook so violently that I dropped onto my ass and slid dangerously close to the edge. Then there was a sound so loud that my ears rang as all three T-Rexes exploded from the impact of the purple spheres. The burst of flaming guts was slightly nauseating as I watched my target's massive body wrench in half and burst into purple fire. But I let out a howl of approval and then whipped my head around to see the other two dinosaurs had met similar fates. The wind howled through my hair as I looked down onto the blood-stained countryside, and there wasn't a breathing dinosaur to be seen. The bodies were sprawled out all over the hill, and there were guts hung from tree branches from the dinosaurs we had blown up. Some of the corpses were trampled while others were strewn in odd positions with their bloody heads bent under them. And it looked like some of the smaller species had been crushed to death under lumbering dinos who'd had their heads blasted open. I waited for another roar or set of footsteps to arrive. I checked the skyline and scanned all around the cliffside, but it looked like we had really done it. With the help of our newly trained team and the gorgeous alien, we had killed the mega herd. And it looked like we might have bought this stretch of the countryside at least a few days of peace, if not much more.